This is a Stillwater Revival Books audiobook selection. Please join us at PuritanDownloads.com to see all the new 99-cent digital downloads, Reformation and Puritan books, Psalm singing MP3s, and so on, the new SWRB Puritan hard drive, and much more. The new website is state-of-the-art and contains Puritan hard drive videos, Puritan quote videos, free samples of psalm singing, MP3s, a powerful search engine, new material, Puritan books, MP3s and videos, that you may follow through an RSS feed, and it is very easy to navigate. That's PuritanDownloads.com. This is a Puritan Reformed audiobook podcast. Today we're going to narrate excerpts from the book, An Alarm to the Unconverted, written by Joseph Alleyne in 1671. Dearly beloved, I gladly acknowledge myself a debtor to you, and am concerned, as I would be found a good steward of the household of God, to give everyone his portion. But the physician is most concerned for those patients whose case is most doubtful and hazardous, and the father's pity is especially turned towards his dying child. So unconverted souls call for earnest compassion and prompt diligence to pluck them as brands from the burning. Jude 23. Therefore it is to them I shall first apply myself in these pages. But from where shall I fetch my argument? With what shall I win them? Oh, that I could tell! I would write to them in tears. I would weep out every argument. I would empty my veins for ink. I would petition them on my knees. Oh, how thankful should I be if they would be prevailed with to repent and turn. How long have I labored for you? How often would I have gathered you? This is what I have prayed for and studied for these many years, that I might bring you to God. Oh, that I might now do it. Will you yet be entreated? But, O Lord, how insufficient I am for this work. Alas, with what shall I pierce the scales of Leviathan, or make the heart feel that is hard as another millstone? Shall I go and speak to the grave and expect the dead will obey me and come forth? Shall I make an oration to the rocks or declaim to the mountains and think to move them with arguments? Shall I make the blind to see? From the beginning of the world was it not heard that a man opened the eyes of the blind? John 9:32. But, O Lord, Thou canst pierce the heart of the sinner. I can only draw the bow at a venture, but do Thou direct the arrow between the joints of the harness. Slay the sin and save the soul of the sinner that casts his eyes on these pages. I beseech you to permit a friendly plainness and freedom with you in your deepest concern. I am not playing the orator to make a learned speech to you, nor dressing the dish with eloquence in order to please you. These lines are upon a weighty errand indeed, to convince and convert and save you. I am not baiting my hook with rhetoric, nor fishing for your applause, but for your souls. My work is not to please you, but to save you, nor is my business with your fancies, but with your hearts. If I have not your hearts, I have nothing. If I were to please your ears, I would sing another song. If I were to preach myself, I would steer another course. I could then tell you a smoother tale. I would make pillows for you and speak peace. For how can Ahab love this Micaiah that always prophesies evil concerning him? 1 Kings 22:8. But how much better are the wounds of a friend than the fair speeches of the harlot, who flatters with her lips till the darts strike through the liver. Proverbs 7:21-23 and Proverbs 6:26. If I were to quiet a crying infant, I might sink him into a happier mood or rock him asleep. But when the child has fallen into the fire, the parent takes another course. He will not try to steal him with a song or trifle. I know if we succeed not with you, you are lost. If we cannot get your consent to arise and come away, you will perish forever. No conversion, no salvation. I must get your goodwill or leave you miserable. But here the difficulty of my work again occurs to me. O Lord, choose my stones out of the brook. I come in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel. I come forth like the stripling David against Goliath, to wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, and rulers of the darkness of this world, Ephesians 6:12. This day let the Lord smite the Philistines, spoil the strong man of his armor, and give me the captives out of his hand. Lord, choose my words, choose my weapons for me. And when I put my hand into the bag and take out a stone and sling it, do thou carry it to the mark, and make it sink, not into the forehead, but into the heart of the unconverted sinner, and smite him to the ground like Saul of Tarsus. Hear then, O sinners, hear as you would live. Why should you willfully deceive yourselves or build your hopes upon the sand? I know that he will find hard work that goes to pluck away your hopes. It cannot but be unpleasant to you, and truly it is not pleasing to me. I set about it as a surgeon when about to cut off a mortified limb from his beloved friend, which of necessity he must do, though with an aching heart. But understand me, beloved, I am only taking down the ruinous house, which otherwise will speedily fall of itself and bury you in the ruins, that I may build it fair, strong, and firm forever. The hope of the wicked shall perish. And had you not better, O sinner, let the word convince you now in time, and let go your false and self-deluding hopes, then have death open your eyes too late, and find yourself in hell before you are aware? I should be a false and faithless shepherd if I should not tell you that you have built your hopes upon no better grounds than these before mentioned, and yet in your sins. Let conscience speak. What have you to plead for yourselves? Is it that you wear Christ's livery, that you bear his name, that you are a member of the visible church, that you have knowledge in the points of religion, are civilized, perform religious duties, are just in your dealings, have been troubled in conscience for your sins? I tell you from the Lord, these pleas will never be accepted at God's bar. Conversion turns the bent of the affections. These all run in a new channel. The Jordan is now driven back, and the water runs upwards against its natural course. Christ is his hope. This is his prize. Here his eye is. Here his heart. He is content to cast all overboard, as a merchant in the storm about to perish, so he may but keep this jewel. The first of his desires is not after gold, but grace. He hungers for it. He seeks it as silver. He digs for it as for hid treasure. He had rather be gracious than great. He had rather be the holiest man on earth than the most learned, the most famous, the most prosperous. While carnal, he said, "Oh, if I were but in great esteem, rolling in wealth and swimming in pleasure, if my debts were paid and I and mine provided for, then I would be a happy man. But now the tune is changed." Oh, says a convert, "If I had but my corruption subdued, if I had such a measure of grace and fellowship with God, though I were poor and despised, I should not care. I should account myself a blessed man." Reader, is this the language of your soul? The nature of conversion and the bodily members. These before were the instruments of sin are now become the holy utensils of Christ's living temple. He that before dishonored his body now possesses his vessel in sanctification and honor, in temperance, chastity, and sobriety, and dedicates it to the Lord. The eye that was once a wandering eye, a wanton eye, a haughty, a covetous eye, is now employed as Mary's in weeping over its sins, and beholding God in his works, and reading his word, or in looking for objects of mercy and opportunities for his service. The ear that was once open to Satan's call, and that did relish nothing so much as filthy, or at least frothy talk, and the laughter of fools, is now bore to the door of Christ's house, and open to his disciples. It says, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." It waits for his word as the rain, and relishes them more than the appointed food, Job 23:12, more than the honey in the honeycomb, Psalm 19:10. The head that was full of worldly designs is now filled with other manners, and set on the study of God's will. And a man employs his head not so much about his gain as about his duty. The thoughts and cares that fill his head are principally how he may please God and flee sin. His heart that was a sty of filthy lusts is now become an altar of incense, where the fire of divine love is ever kept burning, and from which the daily sacrifice of prayer and praise and the sweet incense of holy desires, ejaculations and prayers are continually ascending. Here again you find the unsoundness of many that take themselves for good Christians. They are partial in the law, Malachi 2:9, and take up the cheap and easy duties of religion, but they do not go through with the work. There is a cake, half baked and half raw. It may be you find them exact in their words, punctual in their dealings, but then they do not exercise themselves unto godliness. And as for examining themselves and governing their hearts, to this they are strangers. You may see them duly at church, but follow them to their families, and there you shall see little but the world-minded. Or if they have family duties, follow them to their closets, and there you shall find their souls are little looked after. It may be that they seem religious, but they do not bridle their tongues, and so all their religion is vain. James 1:26. It may be they come to closet and family prayer, but follow them to their shops, and there you find them in the habit of lying, or some fashionable way of deceit. Thus a hypocrite is not thorough in his obedience. Reader, has conscience been at work while you have been looking over these lines? Have you pondered these things in your heart? Have you searched the book within to see if these things be so? If not, read it again and make your conscience speak whether or not it is thus with you. Have you crucified your flesh with its affections and lusts, and not only confessed but forsaken your sins, all sin in your fervent desires and the ordinary practice of every deliberate and willful sin in your life? If not, you are not unconverted. Does not conscience fly in your face as you read and tell you that you live in a way of lying for your advantage, that you use deceit in your calling, that there is some way of secret wantonness that you shall live in? Why then, do not deceive yourself. Thou art in the gall of bitterness and bond of iniquity. Does your unbridled tongue, your indulgence of appetite, your wicked company, your neglect of prayer, of reading and hearing the word, now witness against you and say, "We are your works and we will follow you"? Or, if I have not hit you right, does not the monitor within tell you there is such and such a way that you know to be evil, that yet for some carnal respect you tolerate in yourself? If this be the case, you are to this day unregenerate and must be changed or damned. All of Christ is accepted by the sincere convert. He loves not only the wages, but the work of Christ. Not only the benefits, but the burden of Christ. He is willing not only to tread out the corn, but to draw under the yoke. He takes up the commands of Christ, yea, the cross of Christ. The unsound convert takes Christ by halves. He is all for the salvation of Christ, but he is not for sanctification. He is for the privileges, but does not appropriate the person of Christ. He divides the offices and benefits of Christ. This is an error in the foundation. Whoever loves life, let him beware here. It is an undoing mistake of which you have often been warned. and yet none is more common. Jesus is a sweet name, but men do not love the Lord Jesus in sincerity. They will not have him as God offers to be a prince and a savior. Acts 5, verse 31. They divide what God has joined, the king and the priest. They will not accept the salvation of Christ as he intends it. They divide it here. Every man's vote is for salvation from suffering, but they do not desire to be saved from sinning. They would have their lives saved, but still would have their lusts. Indeed, some divide here again. They would be content to have some of their sins destroyed, but they cannot leave the lap of Delilah or divorce the beloved Herodias. They cannot be cruel to the right eye or right hand. Oh, be infinitely careful here. Your soul depends upon it. The sound convert takes a whole Christ and takes him for all intents and purposes, without exceptions, without limitations, without reserve. He is willing to have Christ upon any terms. He is willing to have the dominion of Christ as well as deliverance by Christ. He says with Paul, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Anything, Lord." He sends a blank for Christ to set down his own conditions. Here the hypocrite's rottenness may be discovered. He desires holiness, as one well said, only as a bridge to heaven, and inquires earnestly what is the least that will serve his turn. And if he can get but so much as may bring him to heaven, this is all he cares for. But the sound convert desires holiness for holiness' sake, and not merely for heaven's sake. He would not be satisfied with so much as might save him from hell, but desires the highest degree. Yet desires are not enough. What is your way and your course? Are the drift and scope of your life altered? Is holiness your pursuit and religion your business? If not, you fall short of sound conversion. And is this which we have described, the conversion that is of absolute necessity to salvation? Then be informed that straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and there are few that find it, that there is need of divine power savingly to convert a sinner to Jesus Christ. Again, be exhorted, O man, to examine yourself. What does conscience say? Does it begin to accuse? Does it not pierce you as you go? Does not conscience carry you to your closet and tell you how seldom prayer and reading are performed there? Does it not carry you to your family and show you the charge of God and the souls of your children that are neglected there? Does not conscience lead you to your shop, your trade, and tell you of some iniquity there? Does it not carry you to the public house or the private club and blame you for the loose company you keep there, the precious time which you misspend there, the talents which you waste there? Does it not carry you into your secret chamber and read there your condemnation? O conscience, do your duty. In the name of the living God, I command you, discharge your office. Lay hold upon this sinner. Fall upon him. Arrest him. Apprehend him, undeceive him. What? Will you flatter and soothe him while he lives in his sins? Awake, O conscience, what meanest thou, O sleeper? What? Have you no reproof in your mouth? What? Shall this soul die in his careless neglect of God and of eternity, and you altogether hold your peace? What? Shall he go on still in his trespasses and yet have peace? Oh, rouse yourself and do your work. Now let the preacher in your bosom speak. Cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Let not the blood of his soul be required at your hands. The miseries of the unconverted. So unspeakable dreadful is the case of every unconverted soul, that I have sometimes thought if I could only convince men that they are still unregenerate, the work were more than half done. But I find by sad experience that such a spirit of sloth and slumber possesses the unsanctified that, though they are convinced that they are yet unconverted, often they carelessly sit still, through the love of sensual pleasure, or the hurry of worldly business, or the noise and clamor of earthly cares and lusts and affections. The voice of conscience is drowned, and men go no further than some cold wishes and general purposes of repenting and amending. Here I find myself aground at first setting off. What tongue can tell the heirs of hell sufficiently of their misery, unless it were dives in that flame? Luke 16:24. Where is the ready writer whose pen can depict their misery, who are without God in the world? This cannot fully be done unless we know the infinite ocean of bliss which is in perfection in God, and from which a state of sin excludes men. Who knoweth, says Moses, the power of thine anger? Psalm 90:11. And how shall I tell men that which I do not know? Yet so much we know as one would think would shake the heart of that man that had the least degree of spiritual life and sense. But this is a more perplexing difficulty, that I am to speak to them that are without spiritual sense. Alas, this is not the least part of man's misery, that he is dead, dead in trespasses and sins. Could I bring paradise into view, or represent the kingdom of heaven to as much advantage as the tempter did the kingdoms of the world, and the glory thereof, to our Savior? Or could I uncover the face of the deep and devouring gulf of Tophet, and all its terrors, and open the gates of the infernal furnace? Alas, he has no eyes to see it. Could I paint the beauties of holiness or the glory of the gospel, or could I expose to view the more than diabolical deformity and ugliness of sin? He can no more judge of the loveliness and beauty of the one, and the filthiness and hatefulness of the other, than a blind man of colors. He is alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in him because of the blindness of his heart. Ephesians 4:18. He neither knows nor can know the things of God because they are spiritually discerned. 1 Corinthians 2:14. His eyes cannot be savingly opened but by converting grace. Acts 26:18. He is a child of darkness and walks in darkness, yet the light in him is darkness. Shall I ring his knell, or read his sentence, or sound in his ears the terrible trump of God's judgments, that one would think should make both his ears tingle and strike him into Belshazzar's fit, even to change his countenance, loose his joints, and make his knees smite one against another? Alas, he perceives me not. He has no ears to hear. Or shall I call up the daughters of music and sing the song of Moses and the Lamb? Yet he will not be stirred. Shall I allure him with a joyful sound and lovely song and glad tidings of the gospel, with the most sweet and inviting calls, comforts, and cordials of the divine promises so exceedingly great and precious? It will not affect him savingly unless I could find him ears as well as tell him the news. Sinner, I think this should go like a dagger to your heart, to know that God is your enemy. Oh, where will you go? Where will you shelter yourself? There is no hope for you unless you lay down your weapons and sue out your pardon, and get Christ to stand as your friend and make your peace. If it were not for this, you might go into some howling wilderness, and there pine in sorrow, and run mad for anguish of heart and horrible despair. But in Christ there is a possibility of mercy for you, yea, an offer of mercy to you, that you may have God more for you than he is now against you. But if you will not forsake your sins, nor turn thoroughly and purposefully to God by a sound conversion, the wrath of God abides on you, and he proclaims himself to be against you, as in the prophet. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, am against thee. Ezekiel 5:8. Oh, what a misery is this, to be out of the favor, yea, under the hatred of God. That God who can as easily lay aside his nature and cease to be God as not be contrary to you, and detest you, except you be changed and renewed. O sinner, how dare you think of the bright and radiant sun of purity, or the beauties, the glory of holiness in God? The stars are not pure in his sight. He humbles himself to behold things that are done in heaven. Job 25:5. Psalm 1:13:6. Oh, those all-searching eyes of His, what do they spy in you? And have you no interest in Christ neither, that He should plead for you? I think He should hear you crying out astonished with the Beshemites, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God. Sinner, the power of God's anger is against you, and power and anger together make fearful work. It were better you had all the world in arms against you than to have the power of God against you. There is no escape in His hands, no break in His prison, the thunder of His power, who can understand? Job 26:14, unhappy man that shall understand it by feeling it. If he will contend with Him, he cannot answer Him one of a thousand. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength, who has hardened himself against Him and prospered, which removeth the mountains, and they know it not, which overturneth them in His anger, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble, which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and filleth up the stars, who will say unto Him, What doest thou? If God will not withdraw His anger, the proud helpers do stoop under Him. Job 9. And are you a fit match for such an antagonist? Oh, consider this, ye that forget God, lest He tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Psalm 1:22. Submit to mercy. Let not dust and stubble stand out against the Almighty. Set not briars and thorns against Him in battle, lest He go through them and consume them together. But lay hold on His strength, that you may make peace with Him. Woe to him that striveth with his Maker. Isaiah 45:9. The whole creation of God is against you. The whole creation, says Paul, groaneth and travaileth in pain. Romans 8:22. But what is it that the creation groans under? The fearful abuse it is subject to in serving the lusts of unsanctified men. And what is it that the creation groans for? For freedom and liberty from this abuse. For the creature is not willingly made subject to this bondage. Romans 8:20-21. If the irrational and inanimate creatures had speech and reason, they would cry out under it as a bondage insufferable, to be abused by the ungodly, contrary to their natures and the ends that the great Creator made them for. It is a saying of an eminent divine, the liquor that the drunkard drinks, if it had reason like a man to know how shamefully it is abused, would groan in the barrel against him. It would groan in the cup against him, groan in his throat, in his stomach against him. It would fly in his face if it could speak. And if God should open the mouths of His creatures as He did the mouth of Balaam's ass, a proud man's garment on his back would groan against him. There is not a creature, if it had reason to know how it is abused till a man be converted, but would groan against him. The land would groan to bear him. The air would groan to give him breath. The houses would groan to dislodge them. Their beds would groan to ease them. Their food to nourish them. Their clothes to cover them. And the creatures would groan to give them any help and comfort, so long as they live in sin against God. I think this should be a terror to an unconverted soul to think he is a burden to the creation. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? Luke 13:7. If inanimate creatures could but speak, your food would say, Lord, must I nourish such a wretch as this, and yield forth my strength for him, to dishonor thee? No, I will choke him rather, if thou wilt give commission. The very air would say, Lord, must I give this man breath, to set his tongue against heaven and scorn thy people, and vent his pride and wrath and filthy talk, and belch out oaths and blasphemy against thee? No, if thou wilt but say the word, he shall be breathless for me. His poor beast would say, Lord, must I carry him upon his wicked designs? No, I will break his bones, I will end his days rather, if I may but have leave from thee. A wicked man, the earth groans under him, and hell groans for him, till death satisfies both. while the Lord of hosts is against you. Be sure the host of the Lord is against you, and all the creatures, as it were, up in arms till upon a man's conversion, the controversy being settled between God and him. He makes a covenant of peace with the creatures for him. Job 5:22-24. Hosea 2:18-20. Directions to the unconverted. Accept the Lord Jesus and all his offices as yours. Upon these terms Christ may be had. Sinner, you have undone yourself and are plunged into the ditch of most deplorable misery, out of which you never are able to escape. But Jesus Christ is able and ready to help you, and he freely tenders himself to you. Be your sins ever so many, ever so great, or of ever so long continuance, yet you shall be most certainly pardoned and saved if you do not wretchedly neglect the offer that is in the name of God made to you. The Lord Jesus calls you to look to him and be saved. Come unto him, and he will in no wise cast you out. Yea, he beseeches you to be reconciled. He cries in the streets, he knocks at your door, he invites you to accept him and live with him. If you die, it is because you would not come to him for life. Accept and offer Christ now, and you are made forever. Give your consent to him now, and the match is made. All the world cannot hinder it. Do not stand off because of your unworthiness. I tell you, nothing can undo you but your own unwillingness. Speak, man. Will you give your consent? Will you have Christ and all his relations to be yours? Your king, your priest, your prophet. Will you have him and bear his cross? Do not take Christ without consideration, but sit down first and count the cost. Will you lay all at his feet? Will you be content to run all hazards with him? Will you take your lot with him, fall where it will? Will you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow him? Are you deliberately, understandingly, freely determined to cleave to him in all times and conditions? If so, you shall never perish, but you have passed from death unto life. The previous excerpts were taken from the book An Alarm to the Unconverted, also known as A Sure Guide to Heaven.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.